So with Father's Day, I know it'll be long, we don't have much time, but I want to get this through to you, and then I really want to pray for fathers, as we have promised. Look, the enemy doesn't have to go after our children. He touches a father, and our whole family unit is destroyed. Are you guys with me? And while I was praying, even in the week, I heard the Lord saying to me that there's a curse that has been on many, and there has been a curse even on those that are fathers in this place because of their fathers and how they've been treated and the rejection they've been treated with. And that spirit comes upon a person. And then what happens is many times when we are young, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, and we see our parents or we see our father beating up our mother, or we see this or we see that, or we have a bad experience with our father, in our hearts, automatically, subconsciously, our spirit is beginning to make a vow, and you make an inner vow, and we say, I will never be like him when I grow up. How many can identify with what I'm saying? Okay, so I will never be like him. I'll never identify myself to be like him when I grow up. Meaning, you see something that your father is doing that you don't like, you make that inner vow, but what you don't know is as a child, that inner vow is actually a judgment that we place. Where the scripture says that judge, and with the same measure you will be judged. And given with the same measure, you'll be it shall be given back to you. And then when we grow up, all of a sudden our wives will say these things. They'll say, but you know what? You talk just like your father does. You look like him. Or all of a sudden you begin to do to your kids what your father has done to you. And it doesn't matter what you're trying to do, you cannot stop it. Are you guys with me? It is a curse that has come because of rejection. And we have made an inner vow to try to not be like it, which is a good intention, but it's sincere, but it is sincerely wrong. Because right there, when we place the judgment, that's where the enemy comes in and he wrecks that child's household from that day on forward. His own household. Are you guys with me? When we do deliverance in the church, and it is one of our most successful ministries, we've taken 800 just in the start of the church through it already. And the first thing we deal about is fatherhood and forgiveness. Because if fatherhood is not fixed, that person's heart cannot be fixed. Are you guys with me? God is a God of fatherhood. The scripture says I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of generations, which means he's seen as God our Father. Now in a worldly experience, I have a bad experience with my father. He is, whatever he might have done, for some year he might have abused, beaten you up or called your names. And then you grow up subconsciously looking at God our Father in that same way. Because we represent him on this earth. Are you guys here? Are you too dead this morning? So get alive. Amen. Say with me these words. Say the fatherhood principle. Genesis 2 verse 4. Put me on Genesis 2 verse 4. I'm not going to go to the bumper now. It's fine. Genesis 2 verse 4. Listen to this. This is the history of the heavens and the earth. Put me in King James Version. Quickly, King James Version. These are the generations. Say with the generations. What freaks me out, you listen to this. It's saying, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. Meaning, there were some heavens that gave birth to heavens. That gave birth to heavens. Are you guys with me? God is into generations. He is a generational God. He loves it when the scripture says, I am the God of not only Abram, but of Abram and Isaac and Jacob, which means that I am the God of Abram, whose son Isaac also served me, whose son Jacob also served me. I am a God of generations. Listen to me, it is not his will only for you as a father to serve him in this place. I don't know if you guys are understanding. It is his will for your father and for your children to serve him. It is your will, if you are a youth or a young person in this place, for your parents to serve God. Are you guys with me? And the problem is we remove the very dominance of man. I'm going to explain that just now. Go through to Matthew 22, verse 32. Matthew 22, verse 32. Sail through the generation of the heavens. Matthew 22, verse 32. I see you guys are a bit slow. Slow. Wake up. That's the scripture, people. Okay? There we go. I am the God of Abraham. Say with me, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Listen to me. Listen, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now listen, it goes on. Go through to verse 33. It says, and when the multitudes heard this, say with me, heard this. What did they hear? The message of fatherhood. They were astonished at his teaching. In the church today, we have removed the message of a father. Are you guys with me? And we have replaced it with some pastors or teachers, and they're standing on the pulpit and they're trying to teach or to pastor, and signs, wonders, and miracles has left the church. As I said to you, if I walk into this building, even in the evenings when we move in the power, and I feel that the power of God is missing, I know witchcraft has entered somewhere. Jezebel has entered somewhere. And as I said, Jezebel doesn't wear red lipstick and a short dress. Jezebel can be a man with a suit on the front row. Are you guys with me? Is everybody with me? Because it looks dead. Jesus, okay. I'm saying Jesus, like, help me in this place. Somebody will storm out and say, Leon is blasphemy. Okay, and then they're not even a Christian. God bless you. But you understand what I'm saying? They were astonished when they heard Jesus speaking, saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of the living and not the dead. Abraham might have died, but he's not dead. You might die in 40 or 50 years, but you are not dead. You will be more alive than anybody else. Are you guys with me? And what makes that happen? The fact that God is a father and he sent his son to die on the cross for us. It is a father who offered up something. It is not a Lord who has offered up. The scripture says, the Bible says that he has given his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. Are you guys with me? He didn't give his only begotten disciple or his only begotten believer. He gave his son up. Are you guys with me? So the fatherhood. The church has lost fatherhood. That's why impartation has been missing in the church. And I can go from building to building to building, and I don't get what I need. A pastor cannot impart. A teacher cannot impart. There are apostles and prophets that can import, and fathers that can import. Are you guys with me? Paul the Apostle said, Romans chapter 1 verse 11, he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Now when I speak of spiritual fathers, I want to get this principle clear, because we have three realms of fatherhood. We have God as our heavenly father. How many of you know that? Then we have our natural fathers. Then we have spiritual fathers. Spiritual fathers in scripture. When you are a father, from the New Testament and to the Old Testament, they weren't really yet apostolic gifts, but from, let's say, the New Testament, you'll only see those who move in the apostolic and prophetic are called what we call fathers of the church. Fathers had the ability to duplicate after themselves. Are you guys with me? We miss the fivefold gifting, as I always try to teach. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then we go and send people out to plant churches. But we have sent a pastor out or a teacher out, and it doesn't work. Because the scripture says in Corinthians, it says apostles first, second prophets, third teachers. Are you guys with me? Then miracle workers. And it goes on, healings, tongues, administrate, and it goes on and on and on. But he says, listen, you're first apostles, secondly prophets, meaning even in that fivefold gifting, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teaching, there's an order. And when we try to build the church out of that order, that's why we get small churches or churches that are not advancing or not are growing, or signs, wonders, and miracles have left the church. Are you guys with me? And on Sunday nights, I make a vow. I say, God, if your power is not present on a weekly basis in the church, I don't want to be there. I'll give it to Martin, and then he moves in power or something. But I don't want to be in a place, because look, Christianity without the power is nothing but a dead science and a dead religion. It was not religion that has set me free. It was religion that have kept me in bondage. Are you guys with me? It was not a church service or even a sermon that has set me free, because they had no power. It was the power of God. Go there to Matthew. Let's not go there. Go there to Genesis 1 verse 26. Let's see. Let's begin. And I don't want to be long, because I want to pray for you. So actually, the message I wanted to preach, I'll really do that. I'm going to do something else. Then God said, listen to this. Let us make man. And say with a man. In our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Next verse. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful. Where is she now? Where are you guys now? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them. Next verse. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Say with you, be fruitful, multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And I preached on this. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Listen to me. Let's go one verse back. I just want to see one verse back. Listen to this. So God created man. This is male and female together. Are you guys with me? In his own image. Then it says, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So this messes up the theory of Adam and Eve, which we're not going to get into right now. Are you guys with me? Okay. Are you guys with me? Because Adam had inside of him Eve, and the earth was given over to him. God said, I give you dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing on the earth. So when he realized, but wait, Adam is alone, I need to give him a helper. God could no longer take from the dust of the earth to form a man, because he gave the dust of the earth to Adam. And he needed Adam's permission. But God, say with his shortcuts, without him having to gone to Adam and ask, listen here, can I make out of the ground another man, another woman for you? Let's hope not a man, another woman for you. Okay. Adam, it would have been a process. And God said, wait, I'm going to shortcut this thing. I'm going to manipulate this thing to work to my favor. Let's put Adam to sleep, because I own him. My spirit and my soul is breathed into him. So God put him to sleep, took from his rib, and made Eve, because he could not touch the earth. Then Satan came and took the earth from Adam and Eve. Then Jesus came and took the earth, the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and gave it back to the church. So to the church. That means when you're sitting under a church with an anointing, where the power of God is, where the word is being, where there's revelation, that you have keys to bind and to loose. You have keys over death, hell, and the grave. I don't know if you guys can hear me. That means where death wants to come and take your son or your child, you have the ability to say no. That death, I bind you, and I loose my child from you, because the keys have been given back to the church. Are you guys with me? The music sounds a bit soft, very soft. If you can, this can help me, please, thank you. Soak the authority. So this is what happened. That's why he said, let us make man in our, say with me, image. Number two, say likeness. Go to Genesis 5:3. I know some of you have heard this, but I'm just taking it somewhere else. Go to Genesis 5:3. Listen to this. So first God created man in his image, which means man looks like God. And his likeness, he would function like God. He would walk like him, talk like him, move and have every function like him. But when Seth, the son of Adam, was born, the Bible says that Adam begot Seth, his son, in his own, say with his likeness and his image. And we see that Adam, because Adam fell into sin, the process has been reversed. Are you guys with me? God said, I create you in my image and my likeness. Adam falls into sin and he creates his son in his likeness first, then his image, which means when Adam fell into sin, grace was taken away. And he was living in the dispensation of innocence, I know, but it's also grace. And he went into a place where there's now law. He had to sacrifice or make an offering. So as he was busy walking, he was made in the image of God. Grace fell away. And he had to go back to the likeness first and then the image. So he said, no, listen here. We have to now do works to get God's image. I must pray. I must worship. I must read my Bible before I can get God's image. By my good works, what I do. When I look good as a Christian, when I seemingly do good things, I now do the likeness and then I get the image of God. Where God is saying, listen, this has never been my will. My will has been for you to first have my image, then my likeness. When you have his image, you don't try to be like God. You are like God. Are you guys with me? When you don't have his image, you try to be like God and you cannot. So try to fulfill this work, I fulfill. That is why when it comes to fathers, even in households, this morning I'm going to pray for a blessing that you will walk in the image of God, that he has made you to have dominion, power. All a man wants, you know, when we work with counseling and marriage counseling between husbands and wife, what they want is they want respect, authority, and dominion. They don't want a wife coming home and saying, listen here, I've been to church and you must come and pray and you know, you're not getting a job or you're not this and you're not. He doesn't need that. Because what is she doing? She's removing the dignity or authority or dominion that he has had inherent as a man. Are you guys with me? If your husband wants to have dominion or authority, it's because God has created him like that. It's when that is not happening in the home that we now begin to get born with other ones, where the roles are reversed. Are you guys with me? Because that role was not in the home. The image of God was not fully planted there. Say with you the fatherhood principle. So they say image, likeness, and say with me. You and I, once we have his image, we function just like him, wherever we are going. The decision I make in home, I function like him. Are you guys with him? Romans, with you to Romans 8 verse 29. Let's see. And by what I feel with, if we have hungry people, then we'll pray a blessing for the Father. Okay. I don't like sometimes in a Sunday morning, the South African religion. That's why I thought we'll just maybe turn it around. On a Sunday morning, we must just run and preach and prophesy so that by God's dienstige geest kan uitkom. So that religious spirit can come out. Traditions that have killed you and your fathers long before you were known. Listen. whom, listen to this, Romans 8 verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. Say this with me, to be conformed to the image, serve it, to the image of his son. Listen, Adam was made in the image of God and then his likeness. Adam's son lost the image and likeness, so he gave birth into the likeness first and then the image. So the image of God was distorted and lost. Why do you think Noah was the only one that was saved and preserved and all the others were wiped away? The seed was infected. Come to Bible college when we have one, next year or so, and then we'll teach you, okay? So, and you'll see who giants are or who, what does it mean when the Bible says they were sons of God? What does it mean? Some of you might think, no, it's us. No, no, no. There are some that are sons of God. It said that the angel, it says in the book of Job, that the devil walked into the presence of God. Amongst the other sons. Are you guys with me? So what are sons of God? We'll get into that stuff later. Why, let's not. Why is Genesis 1 verse 1 or Genesis 1 verse 2 millions of years apart? Why does Jeremiah prophesy and speak back to that time and prophesying and saying, I'm seeing cities, I'm seeing nations governed by a person? And even before you knew it, even before Adam, Lucifer was there to have governed nations. I don't think you guys understand that yet. It's not a cult, don't worry, okay? It's the truth. That's why when Lucifer falls, in Isaiah chapter number 14, the Bible also said, we shall look at him and say, is this the one? The small, insignificant one. Did he bind me to smoking and to drinking, this one? They said, when we look at him, we will be shocked to say, is it this one who has deceived the nations? Did I listen to this small person when I was deceived and in bondage? If you can get that revelation now, and you can open the page of the book that I'm reading to you now, where speaking about Satan in this way, you will know that every bondage around your life can be free. That rejection, whatever has happened in your past, you would say, is this insignificant one? Are you guys with me? Have you seen? Listen. So they are different sons of God, which is not like sons in the capacity of Jesus. Remember, you were born on this earth, but you did not come from here. Are you guys with me? So you were sons even before you came here. For when you give up the ghost, if I can say it like that, you go back to the Father of lights, where you have come from. For we are only passing through this world like a sojourner, like a foreigner, visiting and being homesick. Are you guys with me? Oh, I need to pray for you. Okay. I have no message left. I mean, I have a lot of message left. I haven't started. Say with these words, say the blessing of God. Say it again, say the blessing of God. So he says this, he says, listen here. Adam has lost my image and my likeness, but I am sending my son for you to be conformed to the image of his son. Say with me, the image of his son. And just ignore the movement, the guys are just working with the parking. He says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Are you guys with me? Say with me, sonship. Say fatherhood. This is how this thing, listen, even God is a God of generations. He even caused heavens to give birth of the heavens. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he knows he's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Even in his Trinity, he's working in a fatherhood. He is, he knows that, but wait, I have to send him my son. It says so that we can be conformed to the image of his son. Not disciple. It doesn't say believer. It says that we can be conformed to the image of his son. Are you guys with me? Which God's saying, listen here, for us to restore this image and likeness situation, I need to send my son that will restore back my image to a people who have lost my image. Because Adam has lost it. He moved first in the likeness, then the image. And God is saying, I've got a plan. My people are going to begin to walk this earth again. They're going to carry my image. That when the devil looks at you, he sees the image of God from bottom to top. It doesn't matter what sin you have committed. If you are under the blood, say with me, under the blood. If you are under this grace, listen here. You, when the devil looks at you, he sees the image of God. He sees the one that he has betrayed in heaven. I don't know. He sees the one that he knows that is going to put him an end in the lake of fire. When he looks at you. So God placed his image on every single one of us. You can have a seat. God placed his image on every single one of us so that the devil, wherever he goes, he looks. He sees God. He sees God. He looks there, he sees God. He goes into ECC. All he sees is God. You guys with me? Have that divinity, that identity, where you can know, but wait, if I walk into this job, I am a son of God in the image and his likeness. There is no retrenchment. That recession does not touch me because I'm a divine image. I don't know. Get under this anointing. Listen, get under this anointing. What I mean, this anointing, ECC of course, but the anointing, there's many other great churches, but where is it alive? Where revelation begins to pull something in your spirit. Are you guys with me? Say with me the blessing of God. Listen, listen, listen. What the word blessing, I want to explain this to you what it means. It's the Greek word makarios. Before I get into it, I might just stop now to pray for you. But listen, say with me makarios. When Jesus said, blessed are the poor, he was saying makarios are the poor. The word makarios depicts and come from, that's where we get the word macro from. It comes, it was used in the Greek times as for the term of your Greek mythological gods, like Hercules. What others are there? Isis or Zeus? Yeah, Zeus. Okay, so I know Hercules, okay. But that word was never used in the term of blessing. Can I just tell you where Jesus is preaching prosperity? Look at how silent you are. Look, that term was not ever used for somebody who was blessed. It was never used for a normal human being. It was used for three classes of people. Are you guys with me? Number one, it was used for those who are like Greek mythological gods, who had the strength. It was Makarios was called Makarios. If Martin, the Bible says that the word Makarios, if I, in those days, I would call him Makarios. It's because he stooped so low until he saw the face of God. And he came back with that encounter. He was Makarios because he encountered the divine face to face. Are you guys with me? Then there's actually four ways. The second term, word for description for Makarios is for the actual Greek gods. The divinity they had born from gods. They would come out of the heavens, come to the earth, and they would have superhuman strength. In Greek mythology, I'm speaking of. They would have superhuman abilities. So that was what the word Makarios was used for. The third term that Makarios was used for is a man that would die and then become a saint, or he would go do the impossible feats all around the world, die, and then he'd become a saint. They would call him Saint Peter or Saint this. That's the third way. The fourth term for blessed, description of blessed, is to be in that day when they were living, when Jesus was speaking of the word, to be the elite of the elite. To be those who were extremely wealthy. They couldn't conceptualize with a life that has no money. They had material and wealthy things all around them. And Jesus looked at his followers when he was sitting on a mountain, and there were thousands around him. He said, listen here, if you want to be blessed, Makarios, if you want to become like one of those who are of the elite, whose bank accounts never see zero, they have wealth all around them, you have to do this, become poor in spirit, you'll become part of the elite. Which means Jesus preached a prosperity gospel to say, you can have success and victory wherever you are going. I know I preached last night, last week, Sunday night, a little bit, and I could see we had some haters, we had some people that wanted to stay poor. So I said, stay poor. It is fine. They want me to prophesy to you and say, receive the spirit of poverty. Are you guys with me? Let's get to me. Let me listen. With the blessing of God, I need to finish. Let me just read this one verse and then we close. I haven't even preached my message. Go with me to Proverbs 10 verse 22. Proverbs 10 verse 22. Just put this on. What is, say with you the blessing. Listen to this. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds, wait, say with me, say the blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Say it again like you want it or you mean it. Say, the blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. This means that you are divinely protected, that you are divinely provided for and have prosperity. I don't know if you understand this. Stand your feet, wherever you are. Say with me, the blessing of God. Say it again, say the blessing of God. Listen here, the blessing protects you. Number two, it provides for you. Number three, it preserves your life. Are you guys with me? When you carry the blessing, it is undeniable to your boss or your employer. Because when you walk into the office, there's something about you that is just, they cannot put their finger on it. But there's a life around you. That is why you need to receive this blessing. Some can be sitting, you'll never be blessed. You'll be like walking out of here. That pastor is preaching prosperity gospel. We hate him. We hate him, you know. They hated Moses for saying, let's get out of Egypt to a place and a land of milk and honey. During halfway, an 8-day journey, actually a 3-day journey, ended up 40 years because of their ungratefulness and their complaining. And they said these words, they said, listen here, we can see, we are fed every day by God Himself. Our clothes are growing with us for 40 years. If you have a sachi on, it grows 40 years with you. If you have this on, it grows. They never had to change clothes. Are you guys with me? Then they said, we see the pillar of fire by night. We see the cloud by day. But we don't believe. Take us back to Egypt with the leeks and the honey. Sorry, the leeks and the onions. The honey is in the prime minister. The leeks and the onions. We were more happier in slavery and bondage. I'm telling you, people today are more happier in slavery and bondage because they don't have to take responsibility for their lives. But when you understand, but wait, I have a divine identity. I am blessed by God. You can get a job. You can start a business. You listen. Listen to me. Noah had two sons. Three sons. But let's, with two sons, Shem and Ham. Let's focus on that. Shem and Ham. Shem, when Noah got drunk in his vineyard, Shem came and covered him. Ham came and exposed him. But the Bible says Noah awoke knowing what has happened. And then he said, Canaan, or he said, it was Ham. He said, you shall be a slave to your brother, a servant to your brother. Are you guys with me? Zealand. Let me just get it. Listen to this. He says, Gosh Bekainen, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brother. Then he looked at Shem and he said, May Canaan be your servant. May God enlarge you, Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem. Meaning, wherever you are going, may God be present there. As far as your tents, and listen to me, the word tents there is palaces. I want you to understand this, because when you are somebody who was traveling, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, they had tents that they would put up that was like palaces. It was bigger than the kings that were owning the country. That the king Abimelech would come to Isaac and say, please pack up your stuff and leave this country, because you are too great for us. You are too mighty for us. Leave this. Listen, when kings or political things, political arenas begin to ask you to leave a country, you must know Jesus has arrived. I said to you, I'll share with you in 2 years, maybe 1.5 years, 2 years, maybe, what threats I got. When was it? 2 weeks ago. Not from somebody, not from one person. Planning, I said, we have audio recordings of you, phone recordings of you. We carry this audio recordings of you and Prophet Angel. I'm like, okay, reveal them. Let me hear to that. Let me hear them. Nothing. So I said, okay, let me speak to your wife. Do you have no, nothing? I said, no, we do have it. And we're going to reveal it. I said, please do. Because every phone call I have is so full of the blessing of God that the people will hear it. And listen to empty threats. Like I said, I won't mention the names. They'll hear it. I won't mention the names. But I can tell you, ECC has a voice that the devil hates, that the devil wants to silence. Because in this place there's importation, activation. And he knows if you walk under the sound, under this roof, your life has changed and you're going to find out and discover who you are. Are you guys with me? Keep standing, keep standing, keep standing. Listen, 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 listen. He's listened to this. He says, Canaan shall be your servant, because you have covered me. And then God says, you shall be big. And then he goes on again and he says the second time, and Canaan will be your servant. It is like Noah wanted to really focus on the fact that, listen here, I have made your brother your servant. Are you guys with me? Say with me, fatherhood. Say the blessing of a father. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Raise your hands to the Lord. And I'm going to pray for you now. We're going to pray for the fathers. Listen here. What is a blessing? A blessing means, say these words with me. Say, I am prosperous. Say, I am successful and excel in all things. I have the authorization and permission to prosper. I have been activated with the Midas touch. I am recession proof. I am retrench proof. I am debt proof. And listen, I prophesy over every person in this building that if you have debt, as mine has been supernaturally canceled before, that yours will be supernaturally cleared by this anointing that is in this place today. If you say, I receive the Father, blessing of a Father, that this anointing is going to fall on you. Say this with me, say, I will not be barren. I will, everything I touch will change. I break the spirit of rejection, the spirit of bondage, the spirit of fear. My enemies might come in one way, but they will flee seven ways. I will see 1,000 fall on my left and 10,000 fall on my right, but I will carry the blessing of the Lord upon my life in Jesus' mighty name. Raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands.